This is the introductory episode to my Creating Conscious Relationships podcast series. My name is Phil Golding. I am a self-awareness, meditation, mindfulness teacher, author and podcaster, and a counselor psychotherapist with 27 years of experience as a therapist. Before embarking on extensive studies in depth psychology and transpersonal psychology, and a career as a therapist, I journeyed through the experiences of healing my own mind from chronic depression and PTSD, as well as learning how to attract and create conscious relationships. I consider my life experiences as my most important path of learning. I began that journey over 40 years ago and was free of depression by the age of 30 and PTSD a few years later. I regard my learning about conscious relationships as an open-ended journey where there is always more to learn, whether that be intimate relationships, friendships, community, or international relations. This podcast series will focus on intimate relationships, family dynamics, and friendships, where my The Way Forward podcast series focuses on the bigger picture. My other podcast series are devoted to healing the mind, awareness, and empowerment. You can access my podcasts on YouTube as well as the well-known audio podcast channel. So let's get started. Chapter 1. What is a conscious relationship? So, what is a conscious relationship and how can you get on with creating one? A conscious relationship is built on unconditional acceptance and personal responsibility. All my podcasts are devoted to learning how to live by these two foundational principles that initiate you into the path of becoming truly consciously aware. These foundational principles are universal. In other words, you will find them at the core of every effective wisdom and transformational path all through the ages. As always, the real challenge is in knowing how to live those important principles, or more accurately, how to grow into them. So as I pointed out, conscious relationships are built on unconditional acceptance of yourself and your relationship partner, and total personal responsibility for your own mind, for all that you think, therefore feel, say, and do, guided by unconditional self-acceptance. Therefore, the principles of acceptance and personal responsibility are mutually supportive and must be worked together for them to be a force of healing, awareness, empowerment, and harmony in your life. You start this process by learning how to have a conscious relationship with yourself. Having a conscious relationship with yourself will provide you with the essentials that you need in order to have a conscious relationship with someone else. Why? Because every relationship that you have with another person becomes a mirror that reveals to you your own state of mind. If you don't know how to look at what is revealed in that mirror with acceptance, kindness, compassion, and total personal responsibility, then you will end up projecting in some way what you are unaware of or unwilling to look at and own within yourself onto those who you are having a relationship with, particularly those you are closest to. We end up hurting those we are closest to because we are the most open and vulnerable to those we are closest to, which means in the presence of those we are closest to, our fears and insecurities are the most exposed. When we open our heart to someone, we also lower our defenses, which exposes our fears and insecurities that are often buried deep in our unconscious mind. In order to avoid feeling and dealing with our fears and insecurities, we resort to trying to control those around us instead. We make them responsible for shielding us from our fears and insecurities. As a general example, your wife is not there to be your mother who magically fixes your emotional needs. In the same way, your husband is not there to shield you from the world and provide you with an endless comfort zone. You are a human being having a relationship with another human being, which means you and your partner come with fears and insecurities and confusions that you are still working out or not even aware of. You can either see this as a problem or an opportunity. If you devote your life to acceptance and personal responsibility, then your respective humanness becomes an opportunity of ongoing healing and growing into wisdom, harmony, and a profoundly deep love. Conscious relationships don't happen by magic. This is how our conditioned child mind tends to think, and it is this part of our mind that ends up controlling our relationship expectations. Even if we have positive and constructive conditioning that we see in many happy and long-lasting relationships, our awareness is still limited to that conditioning as what could be called a highly functioning ego. However, this type of awareness still lacks flexibility and can still struggle to adapt to what lies outside that conditioning. Being truly conscious in a relationship means that you are able to keep learning, growing, and adapting to life's ever-changing circumstances. It means that you will continue to evolve and be a part of helping each other to evolve. In the first 6 months or so of an intimate relationship, the honeymoon period, in other words, we are accepting each other unconditionally to a high degree. As a result, we become a sanctuary of unconditional love for one another, which is why it feels so good, so addictive. However, because we grow up in the norms of social conditioning, we tend to think the love that we feel is purely coming from our new partner. Finally, I have met Jane. I have finally found love. Finally, I have met John, someone who can love me in a way that I have always longed to be loved. There is, however, a serious flaw to this perception of love. If Jane has been running on empty until she meets John, and if John has been running on empty until he meets Jane, where is the love really coming from? If I am running on empty and are now relying on you to fill me up, I will naturally begin to place expectations onto you to be the one to keep filling me up, and I will become threatened when your own humanness is exposed and you can't be there for me in the ways that I have come to expect and depend on. I am unconsciously expecting you to be perfect in order to compensate for my flaws. In reality, during the honeymoon period of the relationship, we are certainly projecting love to one another, but only because our hearts are so open. We are each flowing from the universal love that we are both naturally plugged into as a part of being a human being with the higher potential of conscious awareness. We are actually sharing in the true higher nature of our own being, our own oneness, without really knowing it, and without knowing how to sustain that flow when we inevitably get triggered and tangled up in our expectations that are driven by our confused unconscious conditioning. Knowing how to sustain that flow of, let's call it universal love, is what conscious relationships are all about. When we think that our intimate partner is our ultimate source of love, because our humanness gets in the way of the love that we have become dependent on, not realizing that we have an eternal foundation of love that we can stay present and secure within, while giving our partner time to get recentered. Because when our partner gets triggered into a fear reaction, we believe that love has been cut off from us. As a result, we get scared, we get triggered into our own fight or flight reaction, and we start lashing out at one another, or we start trying to control one another, or we shut down into a state of self-protection, etc. Our hearts begin to close down and the relationship breaks down, or we settle into some level of an ongoing disconnection. Our higher awareness, centered in universal love, that enables us to have our own internal foundation of self-love, is not in charge of the way we conduct our relationships. Instead, our fears and insecurities, our confused and largely unconsciously conditioned ego, is running our relationships. That is like putting the most important part of your life in the hands of an insecure and confused 11-year-old. Observe how you act when being caught up in a fear reaction, in an argument, and you will see what I mean. It is very important to understand that when we first start an intimate relationship, there is no emotional baggage that has actually been caused by that relationship. The emotional baggage that is there, we have each brought into the relationship with us. Therefore, in many ways, there are not two people having a relationship, there are four. There is you as the aware self, and there is also the wounded child, adolescent, young adult within you that has become confused and traumatized to varying degrees. And the same goes for your partner. Your relationship with your intimate partner then starts to create its own baggage when you both lash out at one another instead of recognizing that your partner is not the cause of your fight or flight reactions, but is simply triggering the confusions and traumas that you brought into the relationship, giving you the opportunity to see where you need to heal and grow. You are a mirror for one another that gives you the opportunity to see yourselves more clearly. If your partner continues to act inappropriately and is unwilling to own their confusion and change, in the process of parenting your own fear reactions, you will then increasingly be in the position to see where you need to set boundaries by responding consciously to the situation. Instead of getting caught up trying to renovate your partner in a tug-of-war of who can control and change who, you will have more clarity around whether this person is the right relationship for you. Therefore, you need to put your conscious awareness in charge of the ways you conduct your relationship, which means you need to become a conscious forever parent to yourself. You need to understand that when your fears and insecurities get triggered, it is an opportunity to look more deeply into yourself as your own aware parent, rather than blame your reactions on your partner and try to control their behavior as a result. This particularly applies to relationships we have that are genuinely loving, but we are not very aware of how to care for our insecurities and traumas, and our communication skills may need improving. We don't actually mean to hurt one another. Here, relationships break down predominantly because we lack relationship skills and we don't know how to process our fears and insecurities, our traumas. Of course, being our own aware and skillful parent is not how our human mind, our ego, is generally conditioned to be throughout our childhood, adolescence, and young adulthood. So it is not an approach to life that we can easily step into unless that level of self-awareness is already an established part of your conditioning. It certainly wasn't the case for me. As a young adult, I had little idea of how to attract and conduct a conscious relationship. I had to learn through life's experiences while negotiating my own healing and awakening journey, which has given me the awareness that I can pass on to you now. This higher level of awareness that has the power to attract and create conscious relationships is the very reality of your real potential, the true nature of yourself. So you do have that ability. It is a matter of setting a solid, never give up commitment to step by step become that empowered awareness, which will increasingly give you the power to retrain your own mind to an approach to life that works to create harmony and love. This power of awareness literally becomes the solid foundation of your life that then benefits all of your life and all the various relationships that you have in your life. You are no longer running on empty. You actually learn how to flow into life while connected to a source of universal love within you that you, yourself, can keep replenishing. Reaching this level of awareness is not about having to be perfect. It is about reaching a level of awareness that enables you to know how to sufficiently manage anything that you may experience in life. In many ways, your mind is like a garden, and you are becoming a skilled gardener who knows how to look after the garden, who knows how to identify the weeds from the plants that you want to nurture and grow. It is about being able to manage your own well-being within the circumstances around you and make those experiences work for you, even if they are challenging and seem to defeat you at first. You will have learned how to learn from any experience that life presents to you. This you can do, and this is what we so urgently need in the world today. This is enough to solve the problems of humanity. By becoming the solution to your own suffering, you also naturally become the solution to humanity's suffering. Chapter 2, Being Your Own Parent. So let us explore how we can become that aware parent to yourself who knows how to have conscious relationships. As strange as it may seem, one of the things in this world we know least about is our own mind. We can isolate the problem to where we see that our own mind is the source of the problem, but then we are faced with not knowing how to deal with our own mind. We are used to looking out at the world from our own mind, taking for granted the ways our minds tell us to perceive the world, but we are not very practiced at turning around and looking into our own minds. That is the job of our conscious awareness, a higher dimensional level of our consciousness that enables us to observe ourselves and self-reflect. This is what the principles of acceptance and personal responsibility initiate, activate, awaken. Fortunately, despite the fact that we are all so different in some very fundamentally important ways, we are all the same. It is in this sameness that we find the formula that enables our conscious awareness to effectively work on our own minds. In the first episodes of my Five Steps to Freedom podcast series and my Real Healing, Real Awakening series, I have introduced and laid out my version of this formula, which is the foundation of all my other podcasts and also my counseling therapy work and mindfulness coaching. It is a good idea to check out those podcasts, but I will explore that formula here again with the focus on conscious relationship. So what do we actually need to take care of in each moment? About 10% of what we need to take care of and manage are the circumstances and conditions in our lives, in the world around us. The other 80 to 90% is about caring for and managing the confusions and traumas within our own minds, including learning appropriate boundaries and good communication skills. In other words, the more you master your own mind, the more you are the master of your life, because you are learning to be in control of the ways you perceive the moment, the meanings you place on that moment, which determines how you are going to react or respond to that moment. In fact, you may as well say 100% of what you need to manage is your own mind, because that then determines how you deal with the world around you. It is vital that you understand that the circumstances and conditions of your life are simply experiences that have no real meaning until your mind places a meaning onto them, which then determines how you feel about that moment. Your beliefs determine whether you see that moment as an opportunity or a problem, whether you suffer or whether you thrive. This level of responsibility of our own minds can mean the difference between having an all-out argument with someone, rejecting them and resenting them from that time on, compared to being able to take the time to listen to that same person, acknowledge their needs, resulting in them being more open to hearing you. This change of how you approach that moment could instead result in a lifelong relationship, or at the very least, a constructive working relationship. This is all because of the way you approach that moment with either blind reactive conditioning or skillful awareness that has worked through that problematic conditioning before the encounter with the person in question. So let's repeat that essential factor of awareness. It is not the circumstances and conditions of life that are the cause of your suffering. Your suffering is caused by the ways you perceive the moment, the meanings you project onto that moment, and as a result, the ways you react to that moment driven by fear and confusion. Suffering is the result of the confusions that we carry in our own minds. You may see that moment as a problem and think you are a victim of that moment, blaming those around you for your suffering. Or you can regard that moment as an opportunity to see yourself more clearly, to heal and mentor your trauma and confusion more deeply, and then learn to respond to that moment with more clarity, presence, and empowerment, setting clear and appropriate boundaries that care for your well-being without getting caught up in needless conflict. You can also become aware of how you got yourself caught in a negative relationship dynamic in the first place, and accept that you lacked the awareness at the time that would have enabled you to see the warning signs and act accordingly. Now you can look back and learn from those experiences and be more skillful in caring for yourself now. In reality, you have absolutely no control over the minds and hearts of other people. Yes, you can nag, badger, force, coerce, manipulate and con people, but that is just a recipe for more stress, anxiety and conflict. We are here to remove those negative things from your life. What you can do is invite, inspire and encourage people from the basis of your own example, from your own genuine knowing, derived from your lived experience of healing, learning and growing. If you want to have a harmonious relationship, then you must set your relationship partner free to follow whatever path they choose, even if you think they are going the wrong way, even if they actually are going the wrong way, as it is your right. But then, there is actually no wrong path, because every path is going to teach you something, whether you want to learn that lesson or not. There are, of course, more optimal paths where peace, happiness, and fulfilling your potential are concerned. But that depends on whether you are willing to learn from all the experiences of going down all the wrong paths. Ultimately, we are trying to control other people because we are not taking compassionate and caring responsibility for our own fears and insecurities. We are neglecting to be our own parent. Chapter 3. You own your own worthiness. Another essential factor of awareness is understanding and having a rock-solid conviction that your fundamental worthiness is un- conditional. All the suffering we experience in relationships, directly or indirectly, is caused by being afraid of being regarded as unworthy or believing we are unworthy. The fear of being unworthy deep down is the source of most, if not all, stress reactions and suffering in general. It is why we end up running on empty. If you believe you are unworthy, you are rejecting yourself, and in the process, cutting yourself off from flowing into universal love that is a natural reality of existing as a conscious being. If you are hurt when someone judges you, you are actually experiencing your own unconscious self-judgment. To suffer, you first have to believe you are unworthy. This is why narcissists appear to have so much belief in themselves. They think everyone else is the problem. They have so deeply buried their judgments of themselves, but their lack of personal responsibility is the giveaway that points to their lack of a genuine self-worth foundation. The need to be worthy can be tracked right back to being a very small child, needing to be consistently seen, heard, felt, supported, accepted, loved unconditionally by our parents or any other significant person in our lives. When we are a small child, here we are talking of being five or younger, we are so vulnerable and powerless. We are literally dependent on our carers for our very survival. Also, as that child, we are naturally without effective psychological defenses. We are so open and trusting because we need to depend on someone to survive. When we feel connected as a child, we naturally, unconsciously love that person we are connected to with abandon. We just want to be one with them. What we as that small child are learning from all these interactions is our own sense of self in the world, our own sense of value or worth. Of course, we all live in a human world where our carers and our environment may not be what we need to sufficiently feel loved and valued. Therefore, what is reflected back to us as we interact with our world with such openness, innocence, and vulnerability is shaping our beliefs of how lovable we are, how worthy we are. We don't understand it in that way as a small child. We don't have the capacity to think things through in that way at that age. And we don't yet have an independent enough sense of self to be able to validate our own self-worth. At that age, we are far more feeling than thinking. So what we experience when we don't get the love response that we actually instinctively need is emotional pain. We also assume that the adults in our lives must be right and we must be wrong, even when the adults are wrong, even when we try to rebel, because we need them so much. Therefore, because we are so vulnerable and dependent at that age, we unconsciously take that experience in as though the experience of not being loved must be our fault, which simply can't be true at that age, because it is the adult carer's total responsibility to be there for us when we are that young and vulnerable. But of course, we have human beings as parents who may have their own emotional wounds and negative self-defeating conditioning that causes them to be closed, distracted, and stressed, therefore unable to unconsciously love us consistently enough in the ways that we need it. You may be a parent yourself, still struggling to work things out, like I was. This is the reality of being human, and all we can do is forgive our humanness, but at the same time, do our best to keep healing, learning, and growing. You are still likely to pass on some of your fears and insecurities onto your children, and that then becomes their journey of healing, learning, and growing once they are old enough to take charge of their own minds. At least you will be able to support them in that journey, having yourself learned how to learn and grow. Even when our parents are well adjusted and consistently loving, Environmental factors may impede that love bond, such as a chronic illness, natural disasters, the death of a parent, and so on. We are also conditioned by school, TV, films, media, all promoting a distorted understanding of relationships. Furthermore, this deep vulnerability is not limited to childhood. To the degree that we don't know how to have this rock-solid conviction of our own self-worth at any age, is the degree that we depend on others to validate it, and thus give our power away in the process, in forms of dependency and insecurity, and therefore be at the risk of further suffering and trauma. For a young child, too many uncared for negative emotional impacts trigger the child's primal fight or flight survival mind to begin building unconscious protective psychological barriers. As we grow older, we become less open and more defensive, and furthermore, we begin to anticipate negative reactions from those around us, to the point where we just expect it. And even when we encounter someone who is generally accepting and loving, we struggle to trust them. Again, this primal defensiveness can form at any age, but tends to be deeper and more complex when formed young, which gets compounded as we grow older, suffering further traumatic experiences as a result of our self-limiting conditioning, resulting in poor self-care choices. As a result, we come to have the same relationship with the present and the future as we have had with the past. We come to expect, to anticipate, to fear negative outcomes because that is part of our fight-or-flight's role on a psychological level, to try to preempt possible dangers that may be ahead of us. This preempting is a very important function. It helps us to be wary of the real possible dangers by utilizing our memories and our imagination, prompting us to be appropriately cautious. Unfortunately, this protective function can become overly weaponized, and this overstimulates our fear-based imagination. As a result, we develop the habit of projecting negative imaginary scenarios or meanings onto present and future events that we know next to nothing about, without even realizing what we are doing. With anxiety, this habitual projecting becomes more acute and can pervade into broader areas of our lives. We lose touch with actual reality, causing us to frequently impose our own negative reality, our weaponized imagination, onto one another. As a result, when we experience an event, we see problems, whereas another person may see only opportunities, because their conditioning has been very different. Therefore, the person who sees only opportunities is going to have a very different relationship with each moment leading up to the same event. Therefore, they will be living in a very different reality, resulting in very different experiences. This is how powerful we are. We literally have the power over our own reality and live in that reality. We have the power to create stress by expecting the worst, or we can create peace and happiness by accepting what is and working positively with it. So by recognizing and accepting your mind is the cause of your suffering, you have simplified the problem of suffering greatly, because assessing the problem is now a matter of looking into the mirror that is always right in front of you in the form of your reactions to your everyday experiences. Also, your own worth totally belongs to you, and that you can heal it and strengthen it with unconditional acceptance and personal responsibility. You have a path to healing your mind, and therefore your suffering. Chapter 4. Make friends with your emotions. So let's look more deeply at how unconditional acceptance works. The key insight here is in the way you learn to make friends with your emotions. Here is another important insight. Your emotions, no matter how painful they may be, are your friends, because they are informing you as the conscious aware parent of yourself, of where your mind is confused and wounded, and needing your love and mentoring. Acceptance opens your heart, the door to love, which is your conscious awareness, your wise parent self. Self-acceptance must be unconditional in order to tap into the power of unconditional love, which is the ultimate healing force for the mind. Approaching self-acceptance as unconditional may seem radical, but in reality, our levels of self-rejection is what is radical. But our minds have come to regard that as normal. Unconditional love is simply resetting the mind to its real and natural potential. That does not mean that you are expected to get it right. What you are doing is committing yourself to aiming at this ultimate goal, to have unconditional love as your master teacher. It is having faith in the validity of this ultimate power. When you do that, you will have the best, most compassionate, most forgiving, most caring teacher there is, that knows, understands, and accepts your humanness. It is not about getting it right. It is about having a go and learning from each experience. That is unconditional acceptance. That is the best environment for raising a child and also for getting on with finishing the process of healing and maturing yourself. Unconditional self-acceptance gives you the ability to compassionately observe your mind's reactions without you getting so pulled into and lost in your confused and traumatized thoughts and emotions, and in particular, your self-rejection. Why? Because unconditional self-acceptance is the opposite to self-judgment, self-rejection, which is what is ultimately causing you to be triggered. Even if others are judging you, it is your own self-judgments, your own doubts about your own self-worth, that make you vulnerable to the actual or perceived judgments from others. Unconditional self-acceptance is actually the opposite to all the negative self-talk, whether conscious or unconscious, that is the cause of your suffering. Unconditional self-acceptance gives you the power of compassionate self-reflection. Now you can increasingly identify self-attacking thoughts without identifying with them. Think about that for a moment. Now you can increasingly identify self-attacking thoughts without identifying with them. Here is a key to reprogramming your mind. You are now observing your mind from a different, more loving perspective, which is unconditional self-acceptance. You cannot heal and grow without unconditional acceptance. Of course, as I pointed out, you are not going to suddenly be able to fully accept yourself unconditionally straight away. This is a lifelong journey of healing and awakening. But every step improves your life, frees you, awakens you, heals you. The more you have a go at this life-transforming approach to yourself, the more it will make a positive difference to your life. And if you never give up on this approach and keep letting it teach you and evolve you, your life will just keep getting better, along with your relationships, although you may end up outgrowing a few along the way. Not only that, as this awakening conscious awareness, you are now a representative of the very unconditional love that you have always needed throughout your life. You will literally become your own forever sanctuary, your own loving and compassionate parent. This is the heart of the practice of mindfulness, which I speak so much about in my other podcasts. Therefore, if you want to free up more of your potential, pay attention to your emotional pain from the perspective of self-acceptance. Most of the time, your emotional pain is pointing to where you need to do some renovation work on your own mind's conditioning, on your habitual thinking, in other words, because emotions are the frequency of thought. Emotions point to the thought. Your emotions are like your own child calling out to you for help, although that call may come in the form of anger and confusion. Your own mind is now your forever child, especially because so much of your conditioning was formed when you were a child, and all of your conditioning is in the past. You, as awareness, are in the now, looking into your mind at your past memories and conditioning as your own carer and mentor now. The more you stay open and present to the emotion, the more the confused thoughts that are creating this emotion are revealed. Also, the more your defensive system, which tends to block you out and push the emotions away due to fear of them, starts to lessen and give way because of your unconditional self-acceptance. If your thoughts are out of alignment with unconditional love, you will feel emotional pain. It is like our consciousness and our human mind are calibrated to unconditional love, oneness, in other words. In fact, this is the actual reality of your being and your path out of confusion and suffering. Sometimes painful emotions are telling you what you need to change in the world around you in order to better take care of yourself, you know, when something just doesn't feel right. Here you can differentiate emotions from feeling. When tuning in, see your emotions as coming from your human vulnerabilities and your feeling as coming from your higher guidance, your highest levels of awareness. Your emotions point to what you need to heal, care for, and mentor. Your feelings, your higher levels of awareness, and even more higher levels of consciousness. Your feelings are showing you the way forward. Your feelings are flowing from love, oneness. Knowing when you do some work on yourself or change something in the world around you requires discernment, clarity. Discernment, clarity requires compassionate self-reflection. Most of the time, if not all of the time, changing your own thinking is what makes the positive difference to your experience in the world. Chapter 5. Become the Power of Acceptance. Now let's look at acceptance as a fundamental power of you as conscious awareness and how that will benefit your relationships. Acceptance, therefore, is not a shallow surface thing. It is a fundamental power that really has no limits. Accepting yourself as you are is not self-indulgence either. Self-acceptance is compassionate self-responsibility. You're learning to build your own solid foundation of self-worth and resilience from where you can sustainably and securely give to a relationship rather than being insecurely dependent on your partner and therefore fearful and reactive. You are therefore learning to fill yourself up from the inside without having to take so much from anyone else. Those who grow up with highly balanced and functioning conditioning that enables them to make self-caring, self-empowering choices in their lives seem to have it easy in life. Their positive conditioning enables them to create and attract love, harmony, and abundance. They rarely even have to think about self-acceptance because they are actually living it. So this is very important to grasp. They are actually living it. So we need to program our mind where unconditional self-acceptance is just a normal reality of our life. The rest of us are left to grasp the significance of this fundamental law of life through the fog of our own confused conditioning and learn step by step how to be the student of acceptance. As the student, you are learning to grasp that acceptance must be unconditional. As I pointed out, this is the true basis of genuine unconditional love. Your journey to being able to evolve yourself into someone who knows unconditional love and can be a source of unconditional love for yourself and others can be challenging at first. Our old conditioning is tenacious. It is resistant to change because our old mind does not know anything else, and it thinks it has to hang on to old self-limiting beliefs or behaviors to help us to survive. But life is much more than mere survival. On the other hand, your conscious awareness, activated and empowered, ongoing by your practice of unconditional acceptance and total personal responsibility, is a power that is independent of your old conditioning. This power represents your highest potential, which has always been a part of you. Here you have the power to build new conditioning that works to create harmony and love. What you need to do to guarantee success is to never give up, to keep on persisting no matter what, no matter how many times you lose your way or get knocked down. Keep reconnecting to these foundational principles and let them be your master teacher, and you will heal, learn, grow through every experience, regardless of what that experience is. These principles will not let you down. They are part of the fabric of life, the physics of consciousness. If it is not working for you, know that it is because you need more understanding of how to live these foundational principles. To transform your relationship with yourself and others, you need to place this essential self-care practice at the center of your life. This makes sense because those who have this life-enhancing approach to life as an essential part of their growing up conditioning are naturally living this way without even thinking about it. This is why life works for them. This is their way of life. Therefore, you must literally become the power of acceptance for the benefit of your vulnerable and confused human mind. You become your own sanctuary, wise mentor and manager. You become your own life-enhancing environment that you are now growing yourself up within. So that's, again, is worth repeating. You become your own life-enhancing environment. You as awareness becomes that environment that you are now growing yourself up within. This is something that you potentially have full control over. As the student of unconditional acceptance, you are learning to accept yourself as you are, and therefore becoming aware of and learning to overcome your sometimes subtle and other times crippling self-rejection by staying open to owning, feeling, and observing your reactions with your heart open to yourself rather than suppressing the emotions, beating yourself up, or projecting them onto the person who may have triggered them. You may not yet be able to catch the reaction in the moment, but you are sitting with it and processing it once you are again aware enough, and getting back to unconditionally accepting yourself enables you to do that. You are learning how to no longer give your power away by being a victim. You are realizing that when you judge and blame yourself or others, You are giving away your peace of mind, your opportunity to heal and grow. When you judge and blame someone else, you are making them responsible for your well-being, and therefore you have no control over your own mind. When you judge yourself, your heart awareness shuts down and shuts you down. You are cutting off your own endless power supply of universal love that you are plugged into as a reality of your existence. Understand that judging and blaming is different to genuine discernment, which is being aware of the reality of the dynamic before you in a way that enables you to consciously respond. The more aware you are of your own humanness, the more you are able to parent yourself, the more you will understand your own human nature and in turn that of others. You will see that others get stuck in their confusion just like you do sometimes. It is safe to say that 90% of the time people don't mean to react, and that is not who they want to be. As you interact with them, you will be able to see whether the person you are interacting with is able to take responsibility, take ownership of their own vulnerabilities or not. If they haven't yet learned to take responsibility and are unwilling to honestly look at themselves, but instead project their fears and insecurities onto you, go into denial and try to deflect, then you will know that they are too confused to have a functional relationship with you. You don't have to judge them or project animosity onto them to know that and to act on that. You can have compassion for their confusion while still knowing that you need to let them go and walk away. You can't make them become aware. There are likely many layers of confusion and trauma that they have to work through, which is out of your control. In their confusion and defensiveness, they may try to bait you to get a reaction from you so they can be the victim, which their lower survival mind uses to avoid taking responsibility. But you are learning not to react. You are learning that their confusion is not about you or about your worth. Their confusion is instead a symptom of their conflict with themselves, even if they are not aware of that themselves. You are maintaining a high vibration of compassion and kindness while being rock solid in your knowing that you must let go and walk away. Because your clarity and conviction comes from your loving care of yourself, not animosity towards the other. When you set a boundary from this higher compassionate level of awareness, it is much cleaner, more powerful, and better respected. You can even deal decisively with people who are stuck in seriously narcissistic behavior traits because you are learning to consciously act with a conviction of your own worth rather than react from your fight or flight confusion. A narcissist will depend on your reactions and use them to manipulate you. They unconsciously need you to have animosity toward them and for you to have doubts about your own self-worth due to them being stuck in their own negative false reality, causing them to see everything and everyone as a threat that they have to have power over. They tend to be power-centered personalities who are in denial of their insecurities. A power-centered personality who is genuinely consciously aware finds joy and satisfaction in lifting people up and empowering them, not taking power away from them. You are learning that if your life lacks balance, if you are neglecting yourself, if you are being abused or neglected, if you attract conflict, if you frequently get caught up in your pride, you can accept your right to be human and compassionately turn toward your deepest vulnerabilities and see the opportunity to bring your open heart to your confused and wounded self. You are learning that changing yourself for the better changes your life for the better. You don't have to waste your time trying to control the world around you, which is mostly beyond your control. In other words, you don't have to stay stuck in the endless melodrama of societal suffering. It is not what happens to you that causes your suffering. Your suffering, the same as everyone else's suffering, is caused by the ways you react to the world according to the meanings that you are placing on the experience, such as believing that the experience means you are not good enough, or they are saying that you are not good enough. If you truly no longer believe in self-rejection, the confused world around you is no longer going to hurt you and bring you down. You can instead be a source of love, inspiration, and motivation for others, which creates positive change by just being yourself. Until you have become some enlightened master, you must accept the fact that you are going to get caught in your human confusion on a regular basis. You must accept yourself even if you have made a mistake that may have harmed or inconvenienced someone else. They may be abusive toward you about that, but you are the guardian and sanctuary of your own mind. You have the power to choose how you manage the reactions of another. Instead of taking their abuse to heart, you can know that you have a right to be human and therefore deserve unconditional acceptance, love, even when you make a mistake. You can't control their reaction, but you can be a source of love for yourself. You can hear the message that you have made a mistake, own that, and do something about that. But you can also understand that the unkindness and abuse that came with the message is really about the lack of awareness and inner conflict of the person who is being unkind. That part of their communication has nothing to do with you, as I have pointed out. Let it go. Don't focus on the confusion. Focus on the actual message that the person is trying to communicate to you, even though they became vulnerable and scared and triggered. Also, with the power of acceptance, you can have compassion for the angry person by doing your best not to react back, trusting that most of the time, like you, the other person does not really mean to get angry and abusive. As I have pointed out, for the vast majority of us, that is not what we want to be. A vulnerability within them was triggered and they became scared and dropped temporarily into fight or flight. With your strengthening awareness, you can instead accept that they also have the right to be human and focus on addressing the actual usable content of the message as though you only heard them say it kindly. If you manage to do this, 90% of the time, you will help to disarm the fight-or-flight reaction in the person who became triggered. Because you have not reacted, the triggered person will only have their own reaction in their awareness. And because you show them compassion, they are more easily able to feel comfortable enough to own their reaction and work through it, or at least let it go, whether in the moment or sometime later. This is a very important way that we facilitate harmony in our close relationships, friendships, and working relationships. We love each other, but we are still human and are going to be triggered at times. And therefore, we need to accept each other's humanness and make space for that in our awareness. We are not getting caught up trying to take responsibility for our partner's fears or insecurities, but we can take responsibility for learning and practicing effective processing of our own reactions and learning effective communication skills that are empowered by unconditional acceptance of ourselves and our partner. This skill is called holding the space for someone, or simply being present. In other words, being centered in your conscious awareness in that moment and therefore not reacting when your partner is struggling not to react. You achieve this vitally important relationship skill by learning to hold the space for and process your own fear reactions as you observe yourself with unconditional acceptance and get on with being your own compassionate mentor, parent, sanctuary. So you're learning to hold the space for your own emotions, which guides you and teaches you how to hold the space for others. Because you're understanding that they're human just like you. Of course, you are likely to be crap at this skill at first, like so many of us are. You will still end up reacting in the moment at first, but what you will be doing is going back to that moment and working on it whenever you get centered again. Know the amazing potential of your conscious awareness is in you. It literally is you. It is your aware self. Have faith and keep having it go. And keep doing your best to learn and keep reaching out for help. Be it reading, listening to podcasts, journaling, meditating, getting counseling, having a mentor, or going to relevant self-awareness groups, or all of this if you can. If you make this your way of life, healing and growing will be inevitable. We only defeat ourselves by losing faith and giving up. Like I said before, we are becoming the constructive environment that will be shaping our mind, reshaping it. The mind has no choice but to take this new way into itself if you are persistent and consistent and never give up. This is also how the mind works. We can learn anything, like a new language, dancing, a new sport. The same goes with communication skills and emotional processing skills. Chapter 6, The Meaning of Being Authentic. Another strength of being consciously aware is being authentic. The ability to be genuinely authentic in a relationship is to be compassionately in tune with your humanness and your process of healing and mentoring your humanness and open about this with your partner and close friends. You don't have to be defensive because you are not judging yourself. If you make a mistake, you accept yourself enough to own it without shame or self-rejection. Yeah, I messed up, but I'm working on it and learning from it. Sorry if my mistake caused you difficulty. This is what I've learned about it so far, and so on. And so what may have once been a source of conflict and disconnection becomes an opportunity to grow together and become even more connected. With the power of acceptance and responsibility, we can be open and real with one another. We can be authentic. Again, what we once saw as a problem and a threat becomes an opportunity for healing and love. This is also what can be called being humble, but humble humility is a strength. It is a quality of genuine awareness of being authentic. And as I have already pointed out, if the reactive person you are dealing with is so lost and stuck in their confusion that they are unable to take any effective level of responsibility for their fears and insecurities, the clarity this process will be giving you will enable you to see that there is not enough awareness in place for a functional relationship. It is then time to set decisive boundaries and let go of that connection if need be. You are not loving yourself by trying to force something to work or wishing it would work when it simply can't. You are not harming the other person by letting them go. They are harming themselves with their own confusion, but that is out of your control. For your relationship to be loving and harmonious, your partner also needs to be basing their life sufficiently on the two foundational principles of unconditional love and personal responsibility. Whether that is how their conditioning has been formed throughout their childhood, or whether they are generally and actively on their own healing and awareness journey. If that is the case, you can both grow together. There is no shame in being caught in your human confusion. You can't avoid being human, but you can see the opportunity in that moment to heal, learn, and grow, because you are so much more than your all too often limited conditioning that is obscuring your real potential, which is who you really are. Unconditional acceptance and personal responsibility awakens your awareness to your potential. If you persist, you will increasingly experience yourself handling once difficult moments with poise and clarity. You will see your old mind starting to react, but you will have built a whole new and effective approach to that situation that will be right there in that moment to choose instead. Through the power of self-acceptance, there is now the ongoing opportunity to choose self-love and to become more of your ultimate potential. If it is deep trauma that you are facing, the same applies, but the level of pain and confusion may be so intense that you have to face your pain in smaller, more manageable steps, and reaching out for help from a skilled trauma therapist greatly helps you get through the initial challenging stages of the process. As a therapist specializing in trauma, I can assure you that every trauma can be overcome so long as you have enough understanding of how the mind works and the right approach that facilitates compassionate, unconditional self-acceptance. So let's have a look at some important resources to learn from. Now I'm going to highlight some important resources for you that will help you to practically get on with your journey of healing and growing and learning how to create and maintain conscious relationships. Firstly, to help you with your own healing and growing, get into these podcasts that I'm going to list for you. And when I say get into them, listen to them several times, study them, as with everything else I will highlight here. Get on with putting what they teach you into practice as best you can, without imposing any standards on yourself, which will enable the podcasts to help you to understand and learn more from them as you keep listening to them. This is your life, your number one priority. It will work the way you want it to because you will be putting in the work, because you are worth it and you are the power that creates your life. Firstly, I will be posting up further podcasts for my Creating Conscious Relationships podcast series, so make use of them as they get posted. Also, go to my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series. Start with the first podcast of that series called The 5 Steps for Healing, Wisdom and Empowerment. This will introduce you to an effective process for healing and personal growth, which contains the foundational principles I am giving you in this podcast. Then go to my 4th podcast of that series called Overcome Negative Self-Talk. This will give you a practical guide to learning how to compassionately observe and process your vulnerabilities and emotional triggers. You can also get into the 6th podcast of my 5 Steps to Freedom series called The Heart of Mindfulness, which will guide you in the process of mindfulness, of being your own sanctuary and guardian, your own mentor. For deeper healing, go to my Quest for Healing series that directly addresses in-depth healing of trauma, depression, and stress and anxiety Note that all of my podcasts are going to help you heal and grow. They're all based on the five-step process. If you like reading, you can purchase my book of the same name, Five Steps to Freedom, A Path to Wisdom and Personal Growth. My book will also guide you in how to effectively use your journal. To further help with building effective and loving communication skills, which are essential for conscious relationships, Google and get into the subject of active listening. The process of active listening is based on the work of Carl Rogers. This work is about seeing communication as a process of finding common ground by learning to communicate compassionately and to really hear one another and hold the space for one another. Active listening. Also, Google and get into what's called nonviolent communication, NVC. Don't be put off by the seemingly negative title. This is also a wonderful process for learning effective and compassionate communication skills that builds on Roger's work. You can go to my website to access the podcasts and purchase my book, as well as access lots of self-awareness material to read. Go to innerharmony.com.au. So let's conclude. So to conclude this podcast, with the power of acceptance and responsibility, you are also learning to accept what comes to you in life, joyful or challenging, because everything now is a useful experience that helps you to learn and grow. Every experience will now teach you how to love yourself more and to be a presence of love for your partner and children and the world around you. Here we discover another important level of acceptance, accepting life as it is. Life is an experience that provides you with opportunities to learn and grow. Life is happening for you, not to you. This approach to life enables you to connect to life on a higher level of consciousness, which gives you access to more of what life as a universal consciousness that we exist within has to offer. If you persist with your healing and growing journey, you will awaken to this profound reality of life by doing your best each day to live the principles of unconditional acceptance and total personal responsibility. You will discover that suffering is actually optional. Suffering is not necessary other than being an opportunity to learn, heal, and grow. You are not just a student of acceptance and responsibility. You are a student of life itself, because acceptance and responsibility are fundamental principles of life, universal consciousness, in other words, that enables you to overcome suffering and to realize your true potential. Every experience of life is trying to teach you something about yourself. Life is trying to free you from your mind's confusions that cause your suffering. With the power of acceptance and responsibility, you are now able to sit down in the classroom of life and make the most of the lesson each experience brings to you, without being beaten back so much by self-rejection. Life is happening for you, it is not happening to you. As you persist with this process, you will come to realize that you don't have to always get it right. Instead, you just have a go and learn from repeated experiences. Healing and learning and growing is then inevitable because self-acceptance motivates you to not give up. Why should you give up? Instead of giving in to your blind habit-bound mind and its ego when it beats you up for not measuring up, instead, your mistakes become an opportunity to love yourself more and therefore love others more. You will also soon discover that you are gaining a thing called wisdom. People will start asking you how you do what you do, and you will be able to tell them, because you will have consciously built that skill into your own mind. You are now becoming the parent of your whole human self, the loving parent of the whole timeline of your human experiences. All your memories belong to you. They are all within your consciousness now. With the power of unconditional self-acceptance, you are becoming a sanctuary to your vulnerable self whenever painful memories are triggered into your now conscious awareness, your compassionately observing and self-reflecting self. You are becoming the unconditional love that you have always been searching for. You are now becoming your own healer and mentor and life manager. Your self-awareness process becomes your foundation of self-esteem, self-worth, and resilience. So awaken to your power of being your own sanctuary and loving guardian by being a student of unconditional acceptance and total personal responsibility, a student to life itself, and be a creator of loving, compassionate, conscious relationships.